Good morning. So last week, we started off with the two-week series of The Cost of Salvation. And in last week's sermon, we covered what the cost was to Christ. Now, cost being defined as effort, loss, and sacrifice. And how normally when we view Christ, we view salvation through his death. But we covered the cost that he paid in his living. The cost of humbleness, you know, the cost that he had of sacrifice and grief and of pain. And how those things correlated to our life today. We're going to continue along that theme and along that definition of cost, but we will be covering the cost of our salvation, the cost that we pay out to claim our salvation. Now, while trying to study and read the scriptures and pray to be able to build a list of what the costs were for us to pay, it occurred to me that the costs were too great for me to include in one sermon. So the Lord gave it to me to break it down into a three-step process, and I call this process the ABC of the cost of salvation. So the A for the process is acknowledgement, to accept or admit the existence or truth of a thing. To understand this, we'll look to the scripture of the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13 through 17. And it reads, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven.'" Now, we're going to kind of look at those last two verses backwards, because there was something that happened in this conversation that we quite often pass over. Jesus tells Simon that he was blessed because the Father had revealed it to him, not flesh and blood. So this was a revelation to Peter's soul. This was not something that was said out loud to him. It was not something that he was taught. It was something that the Father had given him in his soul. And the first thing he had to do was pay a cost of accepting this. Just because a person tells you a thing does not mean that you accept it as true. You can just as easily disregard it. But what you see is that Simon Peter accepted this as truth by his action. He turned and he admitted to Jesus that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So part of our process of acknowledging the cost that we must pay is acceptance and admittance to Christ. But there's two other things I want to point out about this acknowledgement. Because from Peter's standpoint, it was not just a statement about what was said. It was a statement about the truth of who Christ was. But from Jesus' standpoint, it was not a statement about what other people had to say. It is a statement about what you have to say about who he is. So I want to take a look at some of the things that people say about who Jesus is. Some people say he was a prophet. Islam, Muslims, believe that Jesus was a prophet. They do not completely denounce Jesus, but they do not accept him as the Son of God, the living sacrifice of salvation. Some people say that he was a false prophet. There are certain sects of Judaism that believe he was a heretic, and yet and still there were other sects of Judaism that do their best to not acknowledge his existence at all. Some people believe that Jesus was crazy. They say that he had to be crazy to call himself the Son of God. He had to be crazy to take on the Sanhedrin and the Romans the way that he did. And yet and still today, some people say that he didn't exist at all. They believe that Jesus was a myth created to control the masses by the Roman Catholic Church. But there is one thing that I am certain and one thing that I am sure of is that in every single person's life, every person will be asked who Christ is to them. This will be your first chance to pay the cost of salvation, for this will be your first chance to acknowledge who Christ is to you. But that's not the end of the cost that you will pay under the process of acknowledgement. See, there is a cost of self-reflection. This is accepting who you are and what you have done and who you have been without Christ. Once you see these things, you must turn around and admit them to Christ and ask him for forgiveness. This is what we call repentance. And you must understand that there is no salvation without repentance. And there cannot be any repentance without self-reflection. And though this may be one of the hardest things for humans to do because we do not like to see, let alone admit the truths about ourselves, it is a necessity for us to pay this cost to accept our salvation. But you have to understand that the process does not stop there. You have to move into the B section of the process. You have to move into belief. Now, this is trust and faith or confidence in something or someone. But this belief is not the same as the admission inside of acknowledgement. It is not just an internal thing. It is also an external thing. And to illuminate this, we're going to look at the book of James, the second chapter, 14 through the 18th verse. And James says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But some will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." This type of belief is internal and external. But in order for you to really understand that, I want to explain to you what it is not. See, this type of belief is not talking about religious convictions. Because religious conviction will have you looking down your nose at other people that you don't find as holy as you. It is also not talking about religious action. Because religious action will have you walking by people whose lives don't fall in the manner that the church says they should, the same people that you are sent to bring the message and the good word to. This type of belief is actually talking about righteous conviction. You see, righteous conviction is the point where the soul goes on a search for the will of God, where the soul deep down inside of you goes on a search to find the purpose in your life as described by what God has said about you. And this religious conviction leads you to a point to where you notice that there is a change in the way that you think. And because there is a change in the way that you think, there is a change in the way that you feel. This religious conviction leads you to religious action. Because you don't think the same and you don't feel the same, you can no longer talk the same. Because you can't talk the same, you can no longer walk the same. Why are these things true? Because the words you go to say are no longer your words, but they are words that are rooted in the will of God. The actions you go to take in your life, they are no longer your own actions. They are actions rooted in the will of God. I am talking to you today about paying the cost of righteous conviction. We get mixed up at times and trying to live life or give the message to people that we are told are worthy. Yet the truth is that Christ went to the cross and paid the price to grant us the gift of salvation for all who would be willing to accept it. He did not limit this to where we are from. He did not limit this to what we would look like. So true belief would say, "Because I trust in you, Father, because I love you," which is the first commandment, "I will love my neighbor," which is the second commandment. "Because I believe in you, Father, I will love my neighbor that does not look like me. Because I believe in you, Father, I will love my neighbor that does not talk like me. Because I believe you, Father, I will love my neighbor that does not come from where I come from. And because I love you, Father, I will love my neighbor who does not live their life in the manner that I see fit. I trust your will, Father, and you told me to love them regardless of who they are. Because you love me regardless of who I am." So you must complete the second process before you can move to the third. Now, I want you to understand that moving into the third process in this world that we live in today, this is where you will more than likely pay the majority of your cost. Because the third part of the process of paying the cost of salvation is called confession. Now, this is not the same as the acknowledgement part, because this confession is an external, completely external process. This is not the same confession as going to a priest and telling him your sins. This is not the same confession it talks about in the Bible of going to your brothers and telling them your sins. This confession is to the world of telling them who your Savior is. It is in this confession that it will cost you friends. Because, see, people don't like hanging out with the person that believes in the Bible and lives his life according to the Word of God. It may just cost you family because some family members do not always want to hear the message that you have about your belief in Christ as your Savior. It just might cost you your job because the one thing the Bible does not do is make an excuse for situations. In the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 32, Jesus says, "If you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father. But if you do not confess me before man, I will not confess you before my Father." This is the external confession that is the last part in you paying your cost and your road to salvation. You cannot complete salvation without paying this confession. For see, if you deny Christ to the people who you are around, whether they believe or not, you have not paid your cost for salvation. While it is true that salvation is a free gift, that means that there is nothing that you can do to earn this gift. It cost Christ not only his life, but it cost him his actions. It cost him his spirit. It cost him his emotions. It cost him his mental condition in order to purchase this gift from God for you. It is going to cost you everything that you think you are to claim this gift, to become who God says that you are. There has been a debate in the church for as long as I can have been alive, and I'm sure even longer than that. There has been a debate between the denominations and the theological mindsets on one question. They ask the question that once you have salvation, can you lose it? Well, I've come here today to tell you that we're asking the wrong question. The church needs to look at itself and ask this question. You need to look at yourself and ask this question. And the question is, have you paid the cost to claim your salvation? Once you pay the cost to claim your salvation, there is no way you can lose it because there is a changing that happens on the inside when Christ takes over. The things that are not of Christ are no longer of your life, your mind, your soul, your heart, your words, your walk, your talk. It is all set on him. You cannot lose what you have paid to accept. You cannot lose what was already paid to be given. So I ask you today, have you paid the cost to claim your salvation? There's somebody here today that has been walking around in this world feeling like they're on their own. You have been attacked by mental issues. You have been attacked by physical issues in your body. And you feel lost and alone as if you are walking in the darkness. I tell you that you are not alone in your walk. Christ already paid the cost for you. My question is, are you willing to pay the cost to accept him? There's somebody today who thought maybe they paid the cost, but as you look back over your life, you question whether you really have given it all to God. Have you really allowed him to change the way you talk? Have you allowed him to change the way you think and the way, more importantly, that you love? If you look at yourself and you ask yourself this question and the answer to any of these things are no, I invite you today to begin this process of paying this cost to accept the salvation that God has given you. I invite you to come down today to give your life and start brand new afresh with him. You see, we cannot remain the same once we accept Christ into our life. We cannot remain the same church. We cannot remain the same people. We cannot remain on the road that this world is walking down now. We have those who struggle in addiction. I, myself, was one of them. I have a difference of opinion with a lot of people on this because I don't see myself as an addict any longer. You see, 4 years ago, 4 years ago in one day, yesterday was the day that I gave my life to Christ. From that moment, I was made a new creature. It has been 4 years and one day since any drug or alcohol has touched my lip or entered my body. My body is a temple to the Lord, a holy temple to the Lord. Once you give your life over, you can be set free from these chains that hold you still. There is a reason why we call him a chain breaker. There are those of us who suffer with mental issues. I am one of them. But there is another who paid the cost that suffered through these same things. Depression, He did not want to go to the cross. He asked for the cup to be taken from him, but he paid the cost anyway and went through it. You are not alone. You can give these things over to him, and he will heal you in your mind. There are those of us who are going through health issues. And I know some people do not believe, but I watched it in my life with my father, that when you pray over a broken body, there is healing that can come from the salvation in the name of Jesus Christ alone. All of these things are offered to you here today. The question is, are you ready to pay the cost of salvation to bring these truths and to bring these healings into your life? Let us pray. Father, I come to you today, and I thank you that you sent your son to die upon the cross for me. I praise you, Lord, for I would be nothing without you. Let us accept your word. Let us accept the price that was paid by your son, and let us be willing to pay the cost back in appreciation. This world is changing so much and so fast, Father, and it seems that your people are losing their way. Bring us back to your light, Father, that we may shine bright and be your light to the rest of the world. Show us how to love our neighbors, but first show us how to love you. Father, I'm ready and willing to pay this cost. Father, we are ready and willing to pay this cost. We thank you that you have given us this gift that we don't deserve. All of these things and everything I pray in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.
If you want to stand, we're going to worship.